welcome into tonight's bracket season recap here on the College Basketball Answer. My name is Nicholas Odell, coming from Phoenix tonight. Nick Keneally is alongside me tonight. Two more champions for crown, a lot of chaos in some of these other mid-major leagues on the cusp of all the power conferences starting. Their conference tournaments will start off with the two major champions of the night, Furman and Louisiana. Furman in the Southern Conference finally getting the job done, getting revenge on Chattanooga for the big buzzer beater from last year. They do it in what I thought was pretty convincing fashion, though Chattanooga definitely made a game out of it, especially going into halftime and early on still in that second half. But this was all Furman's night, Nick, and it could not have been any more deserved for the program and really for two particular players here on that Furman team, Mike Bothwell and Jalen Slauson.
Oh, absolutely. You know, with the heartbreak that they had last year, barely missing the tournament because of that buzzer beater, this has to be a sort of spark for them, you know, being able to go back and fairly comfortably beat that same team that kind of crushed your hopes and dreams last year. You know, at one point, at about halfway through the first half, they were up by 19. I mean, they had a firm grasp on this game. Obviously, you know, Chattanooga was able to bring it back and make this a pretty close game. But Furman was able to get back on the gas and really just close it out in a pretty convincing fashion. I mean, it was just a great game, like you mentioned, from their star player this year, Jalen Slauson. He had 20 in this one, 8 for 12. That's always the efficiency that you're looking for out of your star. But you know, they also had 17 from JPP, 16 from Mike Bothwell. I mean, it was just a great team performance, of course highlighted by Slauson, but I mean, an absolutely deserving W for a program that's kind of been through it in the last couple years.
Yeah, they've been knocking on the door for the last several years, especially last season. They get the job done this year, and you're looking at a team in Furman that kind of up the kind of around that 14 seed line. They're being projected at this moment in the bracket matrix as a 14. But a 14 for Furman would not be all that bad for them, given the way this season has really transpired for the Paladins, but certainly a big one there for that program and certainly for Chattanooga as well. I mean, kind of a team that didn't quite have it going for them for a lot of the season. Jake Stevens comes back at the right time. He was also terrific with 25 in this one, 9 of 16 from the field. And with Stevens, Chattanooga was really able to make that run that perhaps they had hoped to be better at in the regular season. But not to be for Chattanooga, certainly some lessons to take into the offseason there for the Mocs. Meanwhile, out in the Sun Belt, it's a first time dancer in 9 years for the Louisiana team, who beat South Alabama 71-66. And South Alabama made an absolute run out of this game. They really were pushing Louisiana all the way until the end. And it's a good, and it ends, and really an unfortunate end, I should say, to what was a great conference tournament run for South Alabama, taking down Southern Miss, getting by James Madison, and then facing a Louisiana team that was also one of the better teams in the Sun Belt. But Louisiana, they are back in the dance.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's got to feel great for them. You mentioned that 14-year absence that they had. And, you know, this game was really, really led by Themis Folks. You know, 23 points, 9 for 13. We've talked about that great efficiency that, you know, you look for. And that's not a player that usually gets you those kinds of numbers. I mean, he's been a sub-double-digit averaging player this year because, you know, the main offensive load goes to Jordan Brown. But, you know, it was really those other players that were able to step up, as Jordan Brown end up with 13. But, you know, you had 13 off the bench from Jalen Dalcourt. You had 12 from Terrence Lewis II. And, I mean, this was just a great collective performance here. Of course, Jordan Brown also had 16 rebounds to go along with his 13 points. So not by any means will I say he underperformed, but it was just a great, you know, a great additive of a bunch of different players getting hot at the right time. And, you know, it was still a very close game at the end. South Alabama battled throughout the whole thing. Louisiana was only up by 6 at most in this game, but they got it done when it mattered. And, you know, now they're dancing in March.
Yeah, that is pretty much all you have to do. And really, this was kind of one of those games. And really, the whole Sun Belt tournament, kind of the idea of this conference being really improved. You know, a team like South Alabama didn't quite get their way within the conference slate as far as the win-loss record goes. They are still really good analytically in conference play. In the KenPom top 100, one of four teams in the Sun Belt within that range. In South Alabama, beat one of them, James Madison, nearly in the KenPom top 100 at 101. That really shows kind of the depth of the Sun Belt conference. It's their best KenPom conference rank in 20 years. So it's a conference that has really gotten better with the addition of Southern Miss, Marshall, James Madison in particular. And that it's Louisiana that gets the opportunity to go dancing and adjusted offensive efficiency in the top 60 in KenPom might be worth a study there. If you're a prognosticator trying to pick out some teams for some long shot upset picks, with Louisiana Lafayette also projected as a 14 seed in the bracket matrix. So one of those teams that can end up facing like a Tennessee down the line in the first round. Who knows about that? But it's a really good achievement for Louisiana alongside Southern Miss and Marshall, one of the better teams in the Sun Belt. Really could not have complained with any of those three teams. And it's Louisiana who gets the automatic bid out in the Sun Belt. Elsewhere, some crucial semifinals, especially in the Colonial. Then one seed Hofstra will go to the NIT as they got knocked down by UNC Wilmington in the extra period and overtime. It was an 8-2 score in overtime. And UNCW gets the job done. Really an outstanding game. For really the whole time. I mean, Hofstra ran out early, really was looking good. And after UNCW kind of got back into it in the first half, going into halftime, it was pretty close the whole way. And it's UNC Wilmington who knocks off Hofstra, and a huge one at that.
Oh, absolutely. You know, it was really UNC Wilmington's defense that was able to come up clutch. Held Hofstra to 28 points in the second half, and obviously the two crucial overtime points that led to that victory for them. Just a great game. And, you know, you mentioned how Hofstra started off pretty strong. You know, they were able to get it going in the first half, but then it just everything came to a halt for them. They started missing shots. They started turning the ball over, ended up with 14 in this game. I mean, Wilmington's defense just was absolutely clutch in this. And, you know, they also had, you know, really good offense as well. You know, you had a 21-point performance from Trezarian White, as well as 17 from Newby and Harden Hayes. So another great team performance from them, especially from White, because he had 21 points, 11 rebounds. He was turning the ball over quite a bit until he fouled out, but his scoring in this game was absolutely crucial for their runs. And, you know, a big credit to him in this game because he really stepped up.
Yeah, it's quite the turnaround for UNCW after the lone head-to-head earlier this year back in mid-January was an absolutely dominating defeat at Hofstra. But a really good win for the Seahawks. They will go in with a big opportunity in the final. And this UNCW team is a team that beat both Vermont and North Texas on a neutral floor in late November. So kind of felt they had something going for them with some of those wins. Couldn't really carry it through the entire CAA play, especially compared to teams like Hofstra and also Charleston, who's UNCW will meet after a fantastic battle against Towson. And the fact that this game was so compelling is not surprising at all. Towson had to make a game out of it, though, late in the second half. After Charleston really ran out early on in that second half. But Charleston, 30-3, will go into a battle with UNCW in a must-win situation to make the tournament. Again, I do not think Charleston has the resume with their strength of schedule and their lack of quality wins to get to the big dance on an at-large basis. And if Charleston loses this game, it would be culture shock to see a 30-win mid-major team not make it in. But we'll leave that conversation for tomorrow if it applies. For this particular game here, big win for Charleston. Canada really had to survive there against Towson, and they are 40 minutes away from history there at Charleston.
Oh, yeah. You know, they're having such a great season. Obviously, they started off with that great midseason tournament that they hosted and won. You know, made headlines from the beginning, and the pressure was on for them. But, you know, I personally thought that they were going to end up falling to Hofstra in the championship round. But obviously, that's out of the picture now. And with this championship berth, I mean, I think it's just a clear shot for them. Towson, they were really a good test for Charleston defensively. I mean, they were putting up some great numbers. They put up a lot of shots, 66 attempts. But yeah, I think it was a great preparation for Charleston for, you know, what they can possibly see and what I expect them to see in the tournament, because I think that they're going to be able to finish out this tournament with a win. But just, you know, a great performance from them. Rebounded the ball well, defended well, and, you know, they didn't turn the ball over a lot, which has been a very key aspect in a lot of these tournament games, especially in the last couple of days. You see teams that are racking up 16, 17 turnovers, and that absolutely kills any hopes that you have to make it through one of these conference tournaments, because this is where you learn that you can't make those little mistakes. So Charleston doing a very good job of keeping control of the ball.
Yeah, so that is certainly the case. And again, I kind of felt like all the pressure was on Charleston going into the CAA tournament. Hofstra couldn't survive their own pressures as the one. So Charleston will have 40 minutes to determine their fate coming up later on. Meanwhile, in the Horizon League, both of the top two seeds are out. As Youngstown State, the one seed, loses to Northern Kentucky in a situation that really wasn't close. Northern Kentucky had Youngstown State's number from the very start of this game. It took a while for both these teams actually to get going. I mean, this thing was still pacing in the single digits. I mean, it was 8-7 at the 13:47 mark in the first half, but it was Northern Kentucky who got going, and Youngstown State just simply did not get things going. For a one seed like that in a semifinal game, I would consider it to be a relative no-show from Youngstown State, which is really disappointing to see out of the Penguins after what they had done in the regular season. Made things tight in the second half, but it was a mark that they just could not come back from, Nick.
I mean, this game started off fairly close, but, you know, once Northern Kentucky really got going, it was pretty much over. I mean, they jumped out to a huge lead, were leading 15 at halftime, led by as much as 22. They really jumped ahead, and, you know, big credit to Youngstown State. You know, they obviously made it close near the end there, but, you know, a double-digit victory to punch a ticket to the championship game. I mean, for the upset victory, this was absolutely this was huge for Northern Kentucky. Just a great game. I really think that this gives them the momentum that they needed to possibly, you know, take home this Horizon League championship and punch their ticket to the big dance. But, I mean, in terms of key players here, you really, you know, have to look at Marquise Warwick. I mean, 22 points. He put up the ball a lot. We'll get that out of the way first. Of course, 19 shots. You'd hope a player would drop 22 points, but still full credit to him. He took on a lot of the offensive load, especially in the moments where it mattered, where they really jumped out to that big lead on that run. He was a big part of that, and they pretty much didn't look back after that.
Yeah, and for this particular matchup, I think perhaps people would have been interested by the NKU defense going into it. Analytically, for the national picture, it was very lopsided in favor of NKU, and that certainly played out. As perhaps a concern was if Youngstown State got on a really off offensive night, they were kind of in trouble. That's exactly what ended up happening there. Cleveland State also taking up the two seed Milwaukee, so it's going to end up being a 3-4 final there. 93-80 the final in that one, and Cleveland State You know, very similar track to the Northern Kentucky win. They got off early, and they commanded this game. Milwaukee trying to make it tighter. Cleveland State was not having any of it. And so it's going to be Cleveland State and Northern Kentucky there in the final in the Horizon League championship game. That one will be an intriguing one to see, just kind of see how both those teams take the moment after each of them taking out one of the top two seeds in the Horizon League. That is a tomorrow night championship there out in the Indiana Farmers Coliseum. Meanwhile, some other big action in the Summit League. Oral Roberts was given a big test by St. Thomas, but Oral Roberts will have 40 minutes all their own to control their own destiny. A 5-point win for Oral Roberts. St. Thomas did a fantastic job in this game, holding Oral Roberts' offense really at bay. But you can only do it for so long. And for Oral Roberts, I think they'll try to learn from the 6-of-25 performance from deep and try to improve on it, and also allowing 16 offensive rebounds. But still, for Oral Roberts, you know, they still got some key performances out of Max Asmus and Connor Fanover, even if they weren't the most efficient performers in this game. And I say that particularly in the backcourt side of things. But for Oral Roberts, survive in advance.
Absolutely. And, you know, it really took until the last maybe 8 minutes of this game for them really to kind of separate themselves and catch some fire here. I mean, this looked like, you know, a St. Thomas game for a while with how they're able to sort of command that first half. But Oral Roberts making buckets when it matters. Obviously, Max Amos has been one of the premier scorers in the nation for years. And, you know, he was just doing it again. He got to the line 8 times, made all 8. And that's just something that you can always expect out of him. You know, but he's just a player that's going to play every minute for you. He's going to get those buckets that you need when you need them. And that really showed tonight. You know, he was a big part of that driving force in the last, you know, maybe 6-5 minutes of the game that led to them winning. Hit a couple threes, 3 threes out of his 7 attempts. So, I mean, at that volume, pretty decent efficiency. And, you know, these are just sort of the things you expect from him. He's this team's, you know, indisputed leader. He was their leader through their amazing, you know, 15-2 win over Ohio State in the tournament a couple years back. You know, he's been their guy. And this, you know, has just continued. Obviously, some great support work from Vanover. He's a very, very capable scorer in his own right. But, I mean, just when it comes down to it, you got to put the ball in Asmus' hand. That's what they've done for years, and it'll continue to work.
Yeah, for sure. And certainly that backcourt, I mean, for Asmus, 6-of-16 overall from the field. McBride, 5-of-11. Juergens, 3-of-10. Perhaps can get a little bit more efficient shooting-wise if he really wanted to there. But Connor Fan already kind of mentioned his stuff there a little bit. Yeah, double for him. And Asmus just being able to get a very good leading performance. Fanover provides the second big performer. McBride provides a big 14-point performance as well. Some good complementary performances to Max Asmus, I think, is kind of the big deal there. But I think Oral Roberts is really starting to feel the pressure big time. And that could bite them against a team like North Dakota State, who defeated South Dakota State in the other semifinal. So it's going to be a big deal here for Oral Roberts against North Dakota State. One of those deals to where on paper, this game should not be close. But we all know how that works out in the month of March. Typically not very well. So Oral Roberts will really just have to stay focused on its job, not let anything else get to it. Because I really do believe that if Oral Roberts wins the Summit League Championship, you're going to see Oral Roberts become the preferred second weekend Cinderella pick. I'm not sure if I am willing to pick it because of their defense, but offensively, they have all the skills they need to be able to get the job done against any 4 or 5 seed in the country, and it would probably end up being a 5 that they would play in the first round. So Oral Roberts, North Dakota State in the Summit League championship game, that is slated for tomorrow night as well. Quickly, the West Coast Conference. I'm kind of monitoring the second set. I mean, it's getting real tight here. Gonzaga against San Francisco, that's getting real tight within the midway point of the second half. Probably you'll know that result by the time you get to this, your preferred podcast platform. But earlier, St. Mary's did their job against BYU. At one point, it was looking like a major blowout. But BYU really kicked it into high gear late in this game, had it down to very, very thin margins late. But St. Mary's found a way to get themselves into the West Coast Conference championship game in the Orleans Arena tomorrow night. For BYU, they really put the press on. I think St. Mary's has kind of floundered a little bit. But St. Mary's, the recovery, just enough.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, I, as you know, a very, very solid St. Mary's supporter, which has been, you know, a storyline throughout this season. I start off not believing in them, and then I believe in them maybe a little bit too much at times. But, you know, I thought that this game would be not close. And for a while, it definitely wasn't. And I thought that that arc was going to continue. I thought this game was going to end up perhaps, you know, a positive double digit, maybe even a 15 or a 20 point blowout. 7 point margin, that's not exactly what I expected, but you know, you can't really just look at the final. You have to look at, you know, the way that the game went, how St. Mary's was getting their buckets at their hottest moments here in the second half. And you know, it was just, it was a textbook game out of St. Mary's. I mean, they were firing absolutely on all cylinders at time. 7 for 15 from the three, shot plus 51% from the field. The only, I'd say, prevalent issue in their game today was their free throw issue. They shot 21 for 34. And when you're going to the free throw line 34 times, you know, you're getting in-game practice. So you kind of expect to make more of those shots because, you know, as I do mention very often, it's called free throws for a reason. They're free. You should be able to knock those down. But I mean, besides that, just a great game, you know, out rebounded the Cougars, you know, obviously outscored them. And they just looked like overall a great, great team. And that's why, you know, they've been ranked for a major portion of this year is because St. Mary's is a strong team.
You know, and I wonder if someone got a lot of film tonight to be able to beat St. Mary's to the big dance early. I'm not saying it's going to happen. But I certainly think the key to beating St. Mary's has been unlocked if the Gaels are not going to react very well to that press in March Madness. Certainly something that will be worth keeping an eye on with the Gaels. But I think St. Mary's showed a lot of resistance just to be able to hold on for dear life there towards the end. So it is Gonzaga or San Francisco. When you're recording this, this one is still in progress about the midway point of that second half. Really tight game. Gonzaga started off real hot. Now San Francisco has come back to make it a 2-point deficit, working on trying to get the tie, and a fantastic block from the Gonzaga stops that for the moment. But that is one to keep an eye on if you're the late owl, really staying up for that particular stuff. Not a huge dig in the sport today outside of that. We did get some second-round games out in the Southland Conference and a couple of quarterfinals in the Big Sky where Weber State and Montana will pull out victories. I know you didn't get a chance to talk about this last night, but as the Bonanza Live on Blaze last night was going on, NAU, Northern Arizona, the big buzzer beater against Eastern Washington in second-round action there. I just kind of wanted to give your thoughts on that with Northern Arizona advancing in the Big Sky tournament, knocking out the one seed in Washington, who was 16-0 in Big Sky play, lost a couple games going into the Big Sky tournament, and they lose again in the Big Sky tournament. Wanted to get your thoughts on Eastern Washington real quick.
Oh, what a huge moment that was. I mean, Eastern Washington is, you know, obviously the one seed, one of the premier teams in the Big Sky, and it wasn't just some late game heroics from Northern Arizona. I mean, this game was close throughout all 40 minutes of this game. The largest lead of it was 8. I mean, this was a battle back and forth, and you know, for it to go down to the wire like that, you just absolutely just it's chills. You know, they were down 6 going into the last minute of the game. and just able to rattle off 10 points in the last minute, including that last minute buzzer beater three, last second buzzer beater three. Just an amazing night for NAU. Great scoring, you know, five players above double digits is always good, especially when you have Oakland Fort 15 points off the bench. Obviously that big three, just amazing for the Lumberjacks. And then you had 16 each from Xavier Fuller and Nick Mains. That's obviously going to be great when you have your, you know, scoring duo dropping 16 each. Just a perfect combination of things to culminate and happen for this, you know, NAU team that wasn't expected to really do anything in this Big Sky tournament. And here they are knocking out the one seed in the second round. I mean, just absolutely incredible.
Yeah, and certainly a big moment for the Lumberjacks. Had kind of lost some really close games and some heartbreaking situations throughout the year, but they get one there against Eastern Washington, who will go into the NIT with a pretty decent offense, a pretty solid offense, actually, in the Nationals realm of things, with a defense that could use some work. But kind of a shame for Eastern Washington, 16-0 in the Big Sky, like I said. Had lost a couple of games in the regular season to go into the conference tournament on a losing streak. And then what ends up happening, they lose right away in the Big Sky Conference tournament there to Northern Arizona. You mentioned that prediction sheet. Five championships will be decided tomorrow. Mentioned some of them, and one of the leagues has already had their auto bid taken care of. But you look at that NEC championship, Merrimack and Fairleigh Dickinson. We are both going with Merrimack, but this would be an incredible story for them. And we've talked about it quite a bit, that for Merrimack, again, not eligible due to transition rules, for them to get a conference tournament championship on top of their two regular season championships in the transition phase would be an incredible accomplishment for Merrimack. But we're both on Merrimack there. We are both on Northern Kentucky over Cleveland State in the Horizon Championship, both on Oral Roberts over North Dakota State in the Summit Championship, both on Charleston over UNCW in the Colonial Championship. Obviously, right now with the WCC Championship, the predictions are kind of all based upon what happens in the last 8 minutes or so in this Gonzaga-San Francisco game. If it is Gonzaga that plays St. Mary's, I have been very adamant that I think that the town level on a neutral court favors Gonzaga ever so slightly. But it seems like you're going St. Mary's no matter what here.
I'm going St. Mary's, whether it's Gonzaga, whether it's USF. You know, St. Mary's, the season series did go 1-1 with them against Gonzaga, who for the sake of this, I'm going to assume that Gonzaga closed out this game. They're up by about 8 right now. But St. Mary's, just such a strong team. You saw it with this game against BYU. You know that they can score in these conference tournaments. Obviously, kind of let it slip a little bit. But, you know, this was their one game with that crazy quadruple bye tournament set up. This was their, you know, one game to kind of, I guess, prepare for the championship. And if whether it was a preparation thing, whether it was a conditioning thing, I think that they learned their lesson that, you know, you can't just, you know, get a run and then kind of take your foot off the gas. I think that they have learned that you have to keep that foot on there, especially at this time of the year when anything's possible. So with what they learn added on with, you know, the success of their season, how strong of a roster they are, I think that, you know, St. Mary's, with whatever team they play, has the strongest chance of punching their ticket to March Madness.
Yeah, that is certainly the case. And both Gonzaga and St. Mary's will be in the NCAA tournament. They are both very, very good teams. But if it is Gonzaga and St. Mary's, that's going to be a thrill. I will be at the West Coast Conference Championship tomorrow night. Myself and Ray Belcora and Paul Schultz will all be there. So we'll be able to give you guys a really good in-depth report on what I see tomorrow night's bracket season nightly recap. Of course, all those picks and the picks coming up over the next several days will be all available for you on our Twitter at College Bonanza. You want to follow there so you don't miss any piece of content or any major update in the sport over the next several weeks. And of course, following the show on your preferred podcast platform so you do not miss an episode of the course of the rest of this month as we're getting down to the nitty gritty with the power conferences coming up so soon in their respective tournaments. For Nick Keeley, I'm Nicholas Hodel of your nightly recap for bracket season 2023. We'll catch you tomorrow night here on your preferred podcast platforms.